Penguin Random House Audio presents Early Warning by Jane Smiley, read for you by Lorelei King. 1953. The funeral was a riot of floral exuberance. Not just lilies, but daffodils and tulips and sprays of apple and pear blossom. Frank Langdon sat with his daughter Janny about 6 pews back on the right. His wife Andy and their month-old twins, of course, couldn't come all the way to Iowa. Janny, 2½, was behaving herself. Frank took his hand off her knee, and she stayed quiet. The broken sounds of tears being suppressed rose all around him. Frank's sister Lillian, her husband Arthur, and their 4 kids were 2 pews ahead on the left. Mama was sitting in the front pew, staring straight ahead. Granny Elizabeth was sitting next to her, alone now. Grandpa Wilmer had died in the summer. In the intervening 9 months, Granny had traveled to Kansas City, St. Louis, and Minneapolis. His mother liked to cluck knowingly and say, "She's blossomed, hasn't she?" His brother Joe's baby, the same age as his twins, looked like she weighed what they did together. Joe's wife Lois and her sister Minnie passed the baby back and forth to keep her quiet. Frank stared at Minnie for a moment. He had known her his whole life, walked to school with her for years, known always that she was on his side. Maybe she loved him still. Frank cleared his throat. Annie, the child's name was. Janny couldn't get enough of her. She talked to her and stroked her head if she got a chance. Across the aisle from Minnie were Frank's brother Henry, his communist aunt Eloise, and Eloise's daughter, Rosa. His sister Claire, 14, 19 years to the day younger than Frank himself, kept turning her head and looking at Rosa. And why not? The girl was at her peak at 20, severe and slender with the look of a French actress. She made Henry, who was only months older, look like a girl. Claire looked like a sheep. Andy, even glamorous Andy, looked like a frump. Rosa was much more alluring than his Aunt Eloise had ever been. Frank looked away. It was his father's funeral. After the interment, where Janny wanted to walk from grave to grave smelling the daffodils in full bloom, Frank didn't stop her. Frank calculated that he'd kept that sad smile on his face for 8 solid hours. He held his drink, scotch and soda, supplied by Minnie, who was now assistant principal at the high school and lived here, apparently comfortably, with Lois and Joe. Frank watched the neighbors come and go. This house, much grander than the house they'd grown up in, was industriously clean. The famous dining room with the sliding French doors that had been the envy of farmers around Denby, Iowa all through Frank's childhood still had flowered wallpaper and heavy moldings. While he was pondering the double-hung windows, Arthur Manning came up to him, as if they were merely brothers-in-law who just happened to see each other at a family funeral. Frank often wondered if his sister Lillian had any idea of what her husband talked to Frank about, or the uses he put him to. Arthur held Tina against his shoulder. She was 3 months now, wiry and active, as if she planned to head out the door any moment. Arthur's tweed jacket was festooned with a folded diaper. Arthur jiggled and comforted a baby the way a great athlete hit a ball, as if his adept grace and evident reproductive success were the easiest thing in the world. Tina burbled and muttered, wide awake and not crying. Frank admired this. Arthur said, "How are Richie and Michael doing?"
"Coming along," said Frank.
"What are they now?"
"A month, but they were 4½ weeks early, so let's call them newborns."
"Precocious, then," said Arthur with a straight face. And Frank smiled a real smile.
He said, "It's a good thing Mama hasn't seen them. She might suggest putting them down."
Arthur's eyebrows lifted.
"Mama's strict about babies. If you aren't good-looking, you could be carrying something contagious."
Arthur kissed Tina on the forehead.
"Don't worry, Arthur," said Frank. "Tina would pass."
Arthur laughed. But Frank could see it.
Even at his father's funeral, Mama doled out words and smiles like stock options. Annie and Lillian were the preferred stock. Timmy, Arthur's oldest at 6, the Class A common stock. Debbie, 5. Dean and Janny, both 2.5, the Class B common stock. Not much of a risk, but not much of a dividend either. Tina, who could still turn out to be blonde, could rise in value or decline. As for Frank himself, well, he had taken his company private, and Mama didn't have much of an investment there at all. A peck on the cheek, a reassurance that everything was going to turn out fine. Frank lowered his voice.
Have you talked with Eloise?
Arthur jiggled Tina again. His voice was low, too.
We clinked glasses, but we haven't exchanged actual words.
Were you congratulating each other on the death of old Joe?
Stalin had been dead about 2 weeks.
I think we were.
Did your organization have anything to do with it?
Not that I know of, said Arthur seriously.
Just dumb luck, I suspect, but we will take the credit if it is offered to us.
He shifted Tina to the other shoulder.
Maybe he doesn't matter, though. There's no sign that things have changed or that their ambitions have waned.
Frank nodded, then said,
You know what we said in the war? 2 Ruskies die, 4 more pop up. Why would Stalin be different?
You know that when Hitler and Stalin were playing footsie, Hitler promised him Iran, right?
I didn't know that.
He did. Now Mossadegh hates the Brits so much that he's heading that way, too. However Iran goes, so go the rest of them.
Truman would have let them have it, said Frank. He let them have Eastern Europe. Maybe Ike has more balls.
Zoran is in Tehran now. He was in Prague in 48. Coups are what he does.
Frank half expected Arthur to ask him to do something, but he couldn't imagine what that would be.
Jim Upjohn, the savviest investor Frank knew, had recently put a lot of money into Getty,
but Getty was based in Kuwait and Arabia, nothing in Iran.
Arthur said, I'm ready for bedtime. How about you?
Frank said, Always. But dinner was served. Once they were seated, Janny between himself and Minnie, who kept putting bits of food on her plate, Janny seemed to cheer up. She ate everything Minnie gave her and asked for more of the canned corn. There was plenty, as always. Beef stew, beans, rolls, the newest possible potatoes, and angel food cake. When everyone had eaten their fill, Joe told a story, the kind people tell at family dinners after a funeral about the person who died.
One time, Papa sat me on our horse, Jake, and then led me to the apple tree and had me pick apples. I would hand them to him, and he would put them in an old feed sack.
Oh, that was the Arkansas Black, said Rosanna. So good. Only cropped every 2 years, though. When Walter showed up to propose to you, Rosanna, said Eloise, I remember he wore the strangest hat.
It was a derby, exclaimed Rosanna.
Very stylish. I was looking out the window. I thought he was wearing a turban.
How did that look like a turban? Said Rosanna.
I didn't know. I'd never seen a turban either. Everyone laughed.
Minnie said, What about the rattlesnake?
What rattlesnake? Said Joe.
Frank suddenly remembered this.
Minnie said, Frankie and I were picking pole beans. We were maybe 7. There was a snake under the bottom of the fence, a step from where we were. Walter must have been watching us, because as soon as I screamed, this long, forked stick came down and pinned the snake's head right to the ground. We ran away. I don't know what Walter did with the snake.
Frank said,
He cut off the head with a hoe. I remember him saying that the cut-off head could still bite.
Debbie said, What do you remember, Mommy?
Well, said Lillian, one time when I was working at the drugstore, I was at the counter late at night adding up what I had sold for the day, and someone sat next to me and kind of leaned into me, so I moved over without looking up from my figures, and he leaned into me a little more, so I moved over a little more, and he elbowed me in the side, so I whipped around to tell that guy to get away from me, and it was my papa, grinning like mad that he had played a trick on me. We laughed all the way home.
Debbie nodded. Frank had never thought of Walter as playful.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?